to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Hey, NXT Podcast again. I'm your host. My name is Zachary Smith. It's important for you to know I'm still excited as I was last week. NXT's great. A lot of fun stuff going on. Am I excited about that? Absolutely. I do have to admit to you that last week, nailed it already. Kind of was like having a really great night out. And you feel like the party's never going to stop, right? And then you do that on Wednesday. And it's a big party. And then Thursday comes. And Wednesday was great, but Thursday's bad. Because you can't go like you used to or whatever. You went too hard. You were excited. It's not your fault. It does feel a little bit like that when I do one of my favorite NXT shows I've watched last week. And then, one, you're kind of coming down off the high anyway, just because it's not going to be that again. But also, some stuff happened, didn't it? Bray Wyatt got released. So Bray Wyatt, you guys know the Fiend, all that. On the WrestleMania episode, had an argument with Matt about why his Firefly Funhouse with John Cena was absolutely great. Me and Mayer embarrassed Matt on his own platform. It was really embarrassing for him, and I hope that he can bounce back one day. We last saw him last WrestleMania here against Randy Orton. He lost that match. He was going through a lot with Mr. Brody Lee dying and maybe some mental stuff. I don't know. But for whatever reason, he was let go. So here's the thing that WWE did. There was this new thing called AEW, and I want you to understand that they are never going to admit this, or like whether AEW succeeds or not, they're never really going to admit it. But there was this thing called AEW, and WWE was very scared that they were going to lose a bunch of their talent to AEW, as they should have been and have. And so they did this thing where they signed people to contracts that they otherwise would not have. So now FTR got a big deal. The Good Brothers got a big deal, now respectively in AEW and Impact Wrestling. They were a team in free agency that overspent because they really wanted to keep the players that they had. Sure, fine, got it. The problem is now, even though they're still making more money than they ever had, despite some of the worst television they've ever done, and just really not earning it, but the momentum of what they did when they had good ideas is still going. Now they're trying to make their books look better, so people who make a lot of money, Braun Strowman, Bray Wyatt, that they release. It was not that long ago that they were subliminally nailed it, dude, putting the Fiend in WWE advertising, like they would sneak him in, and he felt like the biggest thing going, and that's never gonna last forever, you know. Roman Reigns comes along, he's doing the best work of his career, fantastic. It's gonna be different people all the time. What we probably didn't need was Bray Wyatt losing to Goldberg, probably not beating the Fiend. The guy that's known for two moves and can't do one of those moves anymore, you could catch him challenging for the WWE title next pay-per-view. I'm sure it's going to be a barn burner. So we keep Goldberg. We keep the prospect of Brock Lesnar. We keep the prospect of The Rock, but Bray Wyatt is gone. Here's the thing about Bray Wyatt. First, really, I just hope he's okay. with everything happening and everything that has happened. So that's first and foremost, because despite the fact that I do a podcast about one of their shows, I don't especially care about this company. Like, I'm not ride or die for WWE for a lot of reasons. I'm very much interested in the people behind it. And so I hope Bray Wyatt is okay. However, Wyndham Rotunda, that's his real name, is a very, very smart, very, very creative guy. And wrestling could be a great place to showcase that. WWE could be a terrible place to showcase that, because you have to explain it to a bunch of old white dudes who are just the slowest to change their mind about anything, especially if it's new. And they did that. Wherever he goes, whether it's AEW or a different promotion or New Japan or Impact, or he goes into movies or production or something like that, he's going to be just fine. It's great. So once that 90 days is up, I hope that he immediately makes them regret letting him go. Vince McMahon on a conference call said maybe they should give AEW more talent. And boy, I remember when WCW was way too cocky about how good they were doing too, when they weren't actually putting out that good of a product. The thing about it is that tends to catch up with you after a while. And I know that's hard to imagine, because WWE has been around for so very long and they've made bad decisions more often than they have made good ones. But it can. And if you keep up like this, eventually Goldberg isn't going to be able to come back. It doesn't matter how ready you get yourself, however you do that. Like, eventually age is just going to catch this dude, and you're not going to have a Bray Wyatt now to help carry that forward. But don't worry, we have Roman Reigns and, like, not that many other people right now. So that's a super fun, obviously, way to start a show. And you're welcome. But it felt weird not talking about one of my favorite wrestlers and wrestling characters being released by the company I watched their product the most of. The only other news thing I wanted to read you is that there's a roundtable on wrestlers shooting on life after being a WWE superstar. The only thing I want to point out to you is the first line says, WWE has already released a whopping 42 wrestlers in 2021. These moves aren't necessarily the end nailed it for those wrestlers, though. We are 8 months into the year, and we're already at 42 wrestlers. That's what, six a month for the 7 months that they were counting? That's quick math, baby. That is not ideal. Those will make your numbers look really, really good, because a bunch of money mysteriously came off the books. So that makes sense. It doesn't make as much sense when you start firing, like, superstars that are ready to be the next superstars for you, and you release them so that you have enough money to bring back a Goldberg. Because it is interesting to point out that when Goldberg showed up on Raw, It's so weird. The thing with Bobby Lashley didn't work, just like it didn't work with Drew, and didn't work with The Fiend, and didn't work with Kevin Owens. It doesn't work a lot. And the fans started chanting, "We want Wyatt." I think it was a Chicago crowd. I was a little disappointed in the crowd, only because I wanted them to do the "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" song for, like, the whole thing. I'm a big fan of WWE fans, kind of started around Daniel Bryan, where the fans just get it in their head. I don't care what you show me. If it's not exactly what I want to see, I'm going to make your life miserable. And I love that, because there's been, like, one egomaniac at the top of this, and he thinks that his ideas are going to work no matter what. And that's not correct. And it's like, if I have to watch it and pay money for it, I am going to have you do some of the stuff that I like, since you can't do it yourself. So again, I have had a great week, and this was a fun way to start a show. Now, we have a fun episode of NXT. Again, last week, big night of drinking. this week, you do have a hangover from so much drinking, and you do feel like you're going to die, and you promise you're not going to drink again. We both know you are, you know? But also, you're still with those friends, and now you're at, like, hungover breakfast, where you started to feel a little bit better, and now you're reminiscing. So in a way, this is good, too. I'm pretty sure they tinkered with the Then Now Forever theme again. It's important for me to mention that to you. It doesn't affect the shows or your viewing of those shows, but it affects me when I hear it, and I need you to know about it. Recap of last week, Dakota Kai turning on Raquel Gonzalez. Fantastic. We're going to talk about that more later. Kyle O'Reilly snapping at Adam Cole. This would be more effective if, A, I was into this story. And I really thought I would be, and I'm not. And I don't know if that makes me a bad wrestling fan. I have a podcast. That can't be true. It also would have helped if Kyle O'Reilly hadn't already snapped at Adam Cole like four times. In their first match, he drops a knee from the top rope on the back of the man's neck. Like, I'm not sure where you go from the unsanctioned match where Kyle O'Reilly tried to murder him. So every time he, like, snaps, it's like, oh yeah, that's the thing you've done a couple times. So they're going to have their third match at TakeOver on the 22nd, and that will be their last match. And I'm going to guess Kyle O'Reilly's going to win if Adam Cole is still around. His contract might be up. That'll be fun. Fun fact, you know Adam Cole's only like 32? I don't know how old I thought Adam Cole was. It's not 32. That's cool. Main roster, not going to do anything with him. He's too small. Imagine that sentence coming out of my mouth in 2021. But I know that's true, and you know that's true. So I sure do hope he stays in NXT or goes somewhere else, because that's going to be sad. Samoa Joe's back. Recapping from last week, he's back on the active roster. Boy, oh boy, I hope Joe wins that NXT title at TakeOver. Because Karrion Kross, whatever the story is they're trying to tell with him on Raw, he has never felt less important. And now, even when he does a cool thing later, it's diminished by the fact that, like, dude, Jeff Hardy, 2 minutes, pinned you. And it's hard for me to see you as, like, a monster after that, because Samoa Joe's, like, the real thing. So if Joe doesn't win the title, that's a weird choice. All right, awesome. We have a recap that I was hoping they leave off the Hulu cut. Interesting note here. I watched the Hulu cut of the episodes one time. Two, it is interesting to see what, like, is actually important to either them or Hulu from week to week, because sometimes stuff will happen and I'll be like, I didn't even see that and it wasn't important, so that's cool. Unfortunately, this made it through. Tonight it's Dexter Lumis versus Johnny, and if Dexter wins, they have to give him a chance. I wish, it's at this point I'm going through like the stages of grief where I wrote, I wish Johnny would win this match, but he's definitely not going to, is he? It's called a love her or lose her match. That is not a joke that I wrote or that I'm doing. That's what they are calling it. Hit Row's out first to start our actual show. It's Top Dollar and Ashani the Adonis representing Hit Row. Fun facts quickly. Top Dollar, 100% of the time my computer thinks it's Top Dollar, and that's not his name. Ashani the Adonis part? Fine. Ashanti, my computer loses its mind trying to figure out what I was trying to say. So those are fun to type in a match. Swerve Scott is a very good wrestler, and I'm very glad he's a North American champion. They are going against Legado del Fantasma, accompanied by, naturally, Mr. Santos Escobar. It's Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza. I feel like I forget their names sometimes. That's who they are. These dudes are excellent wrestlers. It is important for me to mention to you, they have a good match literally every time they have a match, which seems like an important quality to have in a professional wrestler, if not a team. Into the match, Escobar hits Top Dollar in the back with a steel chair as he's running the ropes. So Legato's disqualified. Hits him again, runs him into the stairs. Now they're beating up Swerve to set up Escobar and Swerve. I like that match a lot. Escobar has Legado hold Swerve as if he's going to hit him in the face with the chair and then absolutely just hits him in the stomach with the chair instead. Listen, I don't want you to hit somebody in the head with a chair. Please don't. It's a rude thing to do. It's a mean thing to do. And head injuries are a thing. But also, if your whole setup looks like you're going to hit him in the face and you hit him in the stomach, that's not great. He also steals Swerve's grill for some reason. I felt stupid typing it. And I didn't, I'm going to be honest, I didn't want to say it. I wanted to pretend like this, that just isn't part of it. And I did sit here for a minute debating whether I could just completely ignore that part. But I have like a responsibility or whatever to you guys. So he stole his grill and now we both know that. So that's fine. They put the chair on his neck. Escobar's about to jump from the top rope. And Top Dollar, who was pulled out of the ring by Swerve earlier, he's mad. B-Fab hits one of them with a chair. Top Dollar drop kicks two of them out of the ring. Ashanti the Adonis takes out the other one. Hit Row beating up Legato. Escobar is all good with staying outside of the ring and not taking part in that. It seems to me like the North American title could like be the reason these dudes fight. But for some reason, we also need Escobar stealing Swerve's grill. That, just to me, seems like we're adding a weird thing on top of a thing that doesn't need a thing added, probably. But here we are. This is what we're doing. Regal, backstage, brings a team of security dudes around Samoa Joe in the back. He's pacing. He said, these guys used to be your coworkers, but now security's going to stay with Joe until takeover to make sure nothing happens. I bet that won't stop them from fighting. Eventually. Dexter Lumis is in the back with a bunch of pictures around him detailing his heartbreak and the story so far. I hate it. Trey Baxter vignette. I got from that he's 23. He's born to do this. He's all heart. All heart is a lifestyle of his. Never staying down no matter how hard you get hit. Blah, 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 blah. You get it. This is like the same thing they had MSK do. And now MSK are boring because those aren't character traits. Those are the, like catchphrases. I imagine if you just let Trey Baxter talk to me, I'd probably like Trey Baxter, but I can feel like the WWE babyface good guy words and emotions coming from him, and that's boring. Again, I'm sure he's very good. This ain't it, man. LA Knight's in the back. Cameron Grimes brings him some exercise bands. He informs him Grimes has to wear that penguin suit for their match tonight with the Grizzled Young Veterans. Now I noted that we are now at the part of the story where Cameron Grimes is actually really annoyed by this whole thing and is showing it. I actually dig this. There's a lot of ways to tell stories, even just in wrestling. So, like, when this story started, because Cameron Grimes is a man of his word, he agreed to be LA Knight's butler. Now, I didn't say I was going to not annoy you when I was your butler, so I'm going to act very enthusiastic about everything because I'm a man of my word and I want to get on your nerves a little bit. But now, you've had me hit one of my friends. You've had me help you cheat to win. You've disrespected the legacy of Ted DiBiase. Now I'm having a lot more trouble pretending like this isn't bothering me. So when this story first started, a lot of people, me included, thought it was weird that he wasn't immediately like a Virgil, like an unwilling butler. And that's fair, but like also with Virgil, at first he was down with Ted DiBiase, and slowly he started to turn against it. This is a great way to tell this story. I trust NXT with stuff like this. If this were on the main roster, I would assume it's going to go bad because they've earned that. NXT has earned, yeah, I'll see where this goes. This is great. Grimes is indeed out in the tuxedo that makes him look like a penguin, including gloves. Fans really like him and are very annoyed, as Grimes is, when LA Knight's theme starts and interrupts his. LA Knight looks like a star, and now that he is, you know, actually presented as one, it's working great. So again, now Grimes has made it very clear that he has been acting one way to LA Knight's face, but is actually really very annoyed with him, and he's having more and more trouble faking it. Wade Barrett says Cameron Grimes needs to listen, nailed it to his boss. Wade Barrett's really good at commentary. I don't point that out enough. Sometimes I forget that he is there until the show starts, but he is so good. Grizzled Young Veterans are out next. Never forget that this match is happening because of golf. And that is fantastic, and I love wrestling. My favorite thing about wrestling is that a lot of times stuff happens that if I had to explain it to somebody, it would only make it sound dumber. That's fantastic. LA Knight walks out. Grimes is now wrestling this match by himself and eventually is doing well. Now it's just Grizzled Young Veterans versus Cameron Grimes. This story is going to make fans love Cameron Grimes. I can't tell if Cameron Grimes is ever going to be NXT champion or not, but if you time this right and do a really good job with this story and the right person is NXT champion, he could be. And I don't think I thought that about him before. Like he could do it, but I didn't know if they ever would do it. But if you want him to be, this would probably be a good time. It's also easy to forget that Cameron Grimes is like an excellent wrestler because he's a very good character as well, but he's an excellent wrestler. He puts up a valiant fight, as he should, and he eventually loses. Ted DiBiase is actually the one that comes out to give Grimes a pep talk. He said, "I tried to tell you that LA Knight wouldn't be there for you. I know you are a man of your word, but you got to find a way out of this situation." And he helps Grimes to the back. I don't know if this is a challenge LA Knight again at TakeOver thing, or if it's a I'm just going to hit you real hard and then we're going to fight at TakeOver because of that thing. Either way, this is going to be great when he's finally not wearing that suit anymore and he's just like got his cowboy boots back. Up next, Dakota Kai explains her actions. Her actions seemed pretty straightforward to me. Quick video package of Samoa Joe, in case you forgot just who the hell he is, just who, what the hell he's done. He is the first ever two-time NXT champion. Fun fact. Also, this would have been a much cooler match like 1 month ago if we just got Karrion Kross before. If we got the Karrion Kross before he showed up on Raw, I would not be sure who would win this match. Now, if Samoa Joe doesn't win this match, that's not great. So he's going for the first ever three-time NXT champion. Samoa Joe should absolutely be that because he's great. Recap of Dakota attacking Raquel last week. Dakota Kai says that 18 months ago, I needed someone to trust and I found Raquel stuck in the shadows. If it wasn't for me, Gonzalez would still be nothing. I mean, low-key, a little bit of facts in here. Early on, it was simple. Stand behind me and learn and be there when I need you. And then you became a star in your own right. Star, I'm going to stop here. Star seems strong. Star just seems strong. Like Raquel, very cool look. Really pretty good in the ring. Made sense to make her women's champion. Really good story. Let's relax a little bit with Star. So I let Raquel get those victories, but let's be real. Everyone knew who the leader was. The TakeOver Stand and Deliver happens. She wins the title, and then Io comes into the ring, and Io picks Raquel. They replay the clip of Io walking right past Raquel, or rather, walking right past Dakota and walking up to Raquel. I'm very glad Dakota's mad about that. When that happened, I was like, oh, so she's just like a dork that nobody wants to fight now, and now she's actually mad about that. Imagine telling a cool story. Imagine it for a second. But she says, Raquel didn't think to put me in that position. I plucked her out of obscurity and she stole that opportunity from me. With my help, she beat EO and became the women's champion. That should have been me. I should have been in there with Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley raising the titles. All I wanted was for her to return the favor. But she didn't care. I was known as Raquel's sidekick. She pauses for a second. Almost gets emotional. Says, I am no one's sidekick. She has been her sidekick. It is important for me to note to you that she has, in fact, been her sidekick. The only person's back I should be having is my own. The funniest thing is you didn't even see it coming. You were so wrapped up in your own world, you didn't realize the person closest to you was there ready to kick your head off. She said, you said there was no one left. How about me? I brought you into this world. Now I take you out of it. That is the best promo I've ever seen from Dakota Kai, and I would also like Dakota Kai to win the women's title now, please. Dakota Kai is like a full character, and Raquel through not a fault of her own, but through how she's been used thus far, is not a character in herself. I feel like Raquel's going to win, and I'm going to be disappointed because this would be the time to put that title on Dakota Kai, and I have never said those words before. Trey Baxter's out for that breakout tournament. Joe Gacy's his opponent. The only thing I know about Joe Gacy is Joe Gacy looks a little bit like Sami Callihan. But I'm not going to have to worry about it because Trey Baxter wins. That's fun. He advanced to the semifinals to get beaten really bad by Odyssey Jones because there's no way in the world that interesting dude is going out before the finals. The announcers are talking. The camera's on them. And Karrion Kross just kind of walks onto screen, grabs a mic, and then decides he wants to cut this promo standing on their desk, so they have to run off. He said, "Hey, Joe, you quit your job to make a change around here." He said, "But you couldn't control this place then, and you can't now." He says, "Joe, who provoked, nailed it, who?" And he's leaving as Joe is coming out the entrance ramp. Security's trying to stop him. So he's now laying out all the security guards. Karrion Kross is gone. He's left the building. Samoa Joe is yelling for Karrion Kross and now attacking the security guards, who are really probably like wrestling trainees because they do flat back bumps incredibly well for what I imagine a security guard would do. So he's taking all of them out. He slaps the choke on one of those security guards, which is really rude to do to somebody who was your coworker a week ago. Because you could have just, like, shoved him. You don't also have to choke him. But he stares into the camera, says, "I'm coming for you," as he chokes the dude out. At this point, I wrote, "All right, man, Johnny Gargano's out, and he's about to lose this match." Boy, was I happy when that didn't happen. Now, Johnny keeps getting distracted by Indy and Dexter and their love. Indy is kind of unwillingly but also willingly helping Dexter along in this match. Yada yada, there's a distraction where Dexter Lumis rolls up Johnny while Indy is sitting on the apron. Johnny kicks out. It runs Dexter Lumis into Indy Hartwell. And then Johnny says to Indy, "This is for the best." It's his finisher. And he wins. Oh, thank goodness he wins. I mean, it's at this point I wrote, I mean, this weird thing is still going to happen somehow. Didn't realize that we're going to do it right now. Wade Barrett says, "Well, this is great, everybody. The sicko Dexter Lumis has lost her for good. She might not realize it now, but I assure you, this will be the greatest thing to happen to Indy Hartwell," says Wade Barrett, who is fantastic and also absolutely correct. However, Candace, Indy, and Johnny are walking back up the entrance ramp. Indy keeps looking back, and finally she just runs back into the ring and jumps on Lumis anyway, and they kiss, and it's weird, and I hate it. Barrett said this wasn't in the rules, and Wade Barrett's right again. So Johnny and Candace look very disappointed, I guess, in Indy, and they kind of walk off. So Austin Theory kind of just walked out on him when he wasn't being paid attention to, and I don't know what they're doing with Austin Theory now, or if they're going to have him off for a little bit and then come back with him doing something else. That'll be fun. Indy Hartwell presumably left the way to be with a dude that started this relationship, I'm pretty sure, by stalking her. And then it just happened to turn out that Indy's also crazy, so it turned into a love story instead of like a horror movie. Indy's really good at this. Dexter is an interesting character to use for this. I hate it. I don't want it. I don't want any of it. And I just feel like the moment of her running into the ring and defying them is something you could have done. It is weird, though, to make me watch a match with Johnny and Dexter with those stakes and then, like, immediately on the same show not have those stakes go through, you see, right? So it's weird, right? It's not just me, because, like, you made it the main event. Instead of doing that Joe thing at the end, it was Johnny and Dexter, and then the bell rang, and then, like, 2 minutes later, the thing they were fighting over didn't matter. And that's wrestling, especially in WWE, a lot of the time, but it does feel like we maybe could have had this happen, like, right before TakeOver, and then, like, an indie Lumis Johnny Candace match we could have done, probably. I'm not a booker, but that seems fair, right? We go off the air with that. So we're still very much in, we need to set up for TakeOver, but also there's several weeks before TakeOver, so we don't want to do anything super big yet mode. I don't care, man. Samoa Joe's back. I don't care. You can't tell me anything. Nothing bad on this show. Do I have a paper champion? I do, but I'm not going to have one soon because it's going to be Samoa Joe, and it's going to be great. And if that doesn't happen, then the podcast after that's going to be not as fun to listen to because I'm going to be bummed out. But this week, I was excited, and I was very excited to join you. I forgot to say up top, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. Also, host another podcast. You're never going to believe it. It's called Random Wrestling, and you're never going to guess what it's about. Every week, I'm talking about a random wrestling show. I've had some terrible ECW pay-per-views. I've had one as recent as 2019's Hell in a Cell to give you an idea how my run's been going. Check it out anywhere you find this one. In the meantime, that's it for NXT. That's it for me. For this week, I've been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic as always, and thank you very much for listening.